I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a little more than 10 minutes, we'll spin you around the latest on some draft prospects, including a guy I wanted the Redskins to take in the first round who's now hurt and will miss the combine and his pro day. Kyler Murray's debating whether he's going to throw at the combine. We've got some audio from him. He sounds a little better than he did the last time we heard audio from Kyler Murray talking to Dan Patrick. And Drew Locke, quarterback at Missouri, being mocked to the Redskins at 15 now. How would we feel about that? But before we get into all that, at 118 or so, Jamal Collier of MLB.com is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. The big one today: Manny Machado, 10 years, $300 million. What does this mean for Bryce Harper? Are the Nationals involved in any way? And did that change when Machado came off the board to the Padres? So, Jamal, let's just start with this. Tell me where I'm wrong. My takeaway on this is all the hand-wringing about these guys being wronged by the teams and the owners was a bunch of nonsense. He got $300 million over 10 years. That's what he frankly, that's higher than I ever thought he was going to get, but that's probably what he should have got, best-case scenario anyway.
I'll push back on that for a little bit, because I think, one, this was always not necessarily about the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, because those guys were unique in general, just because they are seeing the free agent market at 26 and with the accolades they have. So, you know, it is, you know, refreshing to see that they get the money kind of that, you know, the projections kind of expected them to get, and even, you know, like you said, a little bit more maybe for Machado. I think this is always about the guys who are older and had difficulty finding jobs and getting
and Jamal,
paid
that's
kind of
fair.
What their
I'll just clarify. We're talking specifically to Harper and Machado, because we did say last segment, that's, I think there's two other problems, which is not enough teams care to win right now, and then the old players that are getting phased out of the game. But specific to Harper and Machado, the talk was these guys are being wronged, and if he makes 300 and Bryce makes 350 or 325, that's going to be a tough argument to make.
Yeah, wrong me, please.
For those guys specifically, yes. I think that, you know, if they end up getting paid what they are in the end, I mean, I think, you know, just the idea that not enough teams, I mean, I thought it, you know, a couple of years ago, even to get into this year, when those guys hit the open market, you'd have teams almost tripping over themselves to be bidding on them. So I think that is still a problem in itself. Now, these numbers, it is, especially, we've been over Bryce's number is going to look like, but Machado's number is about what you would expect or what you would have wanted coming to the offseason. So I think that, yes, nobody can kind of cry foul on this particular deal. But I think just the general tenor of how this free agency went is still probably not exactly, you know, I don't think where it should be, where it be a free agency would be healthy for the sport.
So there's still a couple players unsigned here, Jamal, and the Nats have shown a willingness to spend. I mean, nobody was going 6 years. No one was going that far over $100 million that the Nats did for Patrick Corbin. Might the Nats swoop and do something else kind of crazy here, a la what they did, for Max Scherzer a couple of years ago, Matt Waiters, which didn't work out, but still, might they do something else here?
And that's the biggest reason why I think that, you know, it sounds like almost cliche to say, you don't want to rule them out, but that's, you know, because of who the player is and because of their history and history between ownership and the agent here, I think it's fair to not completely rule them out. I just think that the one difference now between a couple of years ago is just the fact that they are right up against that luxury tax number, and signing Bryce would, you know, certainly put them over it. And I think they just have shown they're just don't seem willing to be going over that number. And I think, as much as they've made moves and they've obviously had a really productive offseason, the one that, you know, fans and the team here are really excited about, I think they have just really, they don't want to go for a third straight year, and they've kind of stopped short at every other kind of decision that they've thought about or kind of kicked around. If it's going to push them over that number, they've been wary of it so far. So it's still a chance, but I still am kind of not sure it's going to happen just because of, how close they are to that luxury tax number.
Our buddy Jamal Collier with us from MLB.com. Jamal, I didn't even mean Bryce. I meant like Craig Kimbrell or like Dallas Keuchel or somebody else that's just lingering out there. Might they swoop in and get, you know, kind of a sneaky last-minute deal done?
Yeah, and again, I just don't know if there's any flexibility to do that. Yeah, you know, just to do it with that. And I think that Bryce is just a special case because of how they feel about him and because of the connection there. That's the one I could see them saying, "Ah, you know what? We can live with it here." But for somebody else from the outside, when they feel really good about the team they've built, I just don't think that's very likely.
Jamal Collier of MLB.com. Manny Machado made $300 million. I'd assume you're with me that Bryce is going to make more than him. If that is the case,
yes. How
much more? I mean, to me, I now put him into a 315 to 325 kind of floor area at this point.
Yeah, and this is me speculating here. I'm never necessarily sourcing this, but that's roughly about what I thought after I saw 300 for Manny. I thought that something around 320, and 330 maybe being the peak in there, but 320 is just probably what I thought that if Bryce gets, you know, he probably feels really, really good about. But yeah, I do expect him to be that. I always thought that Manny would get an offer that would probably set the kind of free agent contract record, and then Bryce would kind of shortly after beat it. And now I just kind of hope we're correct that this thing is coming soon.
What's your biggest question as the Nats get ready to go this season? I mean, on paper, the rotation, yes, they've upgraded the bullpen, young, a little bit more athletic in a couple different spots. What's your biggest question mark that could hold this team back this year?
Starting pitching depth for me. I mean, I think that this starting staff, especially at the top three guys are is going to be as good as anybody in the league. But, you know, it gets thin. And Jeremy Hellickson helped. But, you know, we Strasburg every year is a guy who has only made 30-some starts once. So you're thinking about counting for a month for him in the DL. Annabelle Sanchez has obviously got his injury history. And you've got a lot of guys who've got miles on them and have been older. And really they can't afford one or multiple injuries to their starting staff for any kind of extended period of time. So that's the one that I'm just wary of just because, you know, Eric Fetty has shown some glimpses of it, but has not been able to put it together. And Joe Ross is still kind of a question mark there that, you know, they still feel like they need a guy. And I would even say they feel an arm short in the bullpen too, but that's one of the things that you can maybe fix at the trade deadline or of course, of the season. But starting pitching depth to me is still the thing that they probably need 160, 180 innings out of those top three guys. And, you know, they're going to need similar kind of production from Annabelle Sanchez. They really want to be as good as they want to be this year.
And you can add a non-closing reliever at the gas station on your way into the ballpark on a Wednesday in June if you're Mike Rizzo.
There's somebody throwing 96 available.
I wouldn't worry too much about that one. Let's say the Phillies offer Harper the winning bid at $300 million or more. I'm curious to see what percentage of Nats fans you think would want them to match that offer. And I ask that because I posted a Twitter poll today. Like 2,400 people have voted, and it's almost 50-50 on the dot. It's 51-49, and that shocked me. Danny and I have kind of felt like the vast majority of the Nats fans we have any experience or talk to or any communication with are ready to see this guy leave. But this poll says otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a little bit more surprised. I think I put out a similar either question or just maybe a tweet toward the end of the season that I was surprised just how many Nats fans that, you know, seemed to all be in that same boat, that they were kind of looking forward to just free agency, to Bryce's free agency kind of being over and him kind of being gone or thinking the team might be better off without him. And I think that, you know, over the last maybe couple of months and maybe as Bryce has kind of lingered out in the free agency, I think I've gotten just a little bit, and obviously Twitter is not a perfect example. But I feel like I've gotten, you know, the opposite kind of reaction. People saying that, hey, he's still out there. You know, potentially the Nats could resign him. And people are kind of excited about the prospects that the, you know, Washington could still be in this thing. I've noticed a little bit of shift in that, too. I don't know if it's just a different, you know, group that is now kind of being more vocal because of the thought that Nats fans are happy to kind of usher Bryce out the door. But, I'm surprised as well to kind of hear that poll. I mean, if I was a fan as well, and I would be happy to have that player, especially, you know, it's going to create some logjam in the outfield and they have to do something and there'll be some kind of ripple effect from there. But I just think that makes them a better team. And if the Arlette team is going to have a chance to compete for the division, you know, you have Bryce Harper there. And now you're talking about a team that's really right there with the other favorites in the National League.
Yeah, I'm very rational about 27 teams. There are three, and the Phillies are one of them where I lose my ability to evaluate and I'll do whatever I can. A, to prevent him from going there, but B, to win him back. I think that's a huge part.
And that's also
of
a big thing, too, is that, right, is that he's, you know, could go through your biggest division rival, you have to see him 19 times, especially in that ballpark. And I think that those prospects don't sound appealing to anybody that risks for the national success.
Jamal, thank you. As always, enjoy spring training. Much appreciate a couple of minutes.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you,
if you're just joining us for the first time today, more at the bottom of the hour with Earl at 1:30. But Manny Machado has agreed to a 10-year, $300 million contract, according to multiple reports, with the San Diego Padres. For what it's worth, the team has come out and said that no deal is in place yet. They're just working on that deal. But pretty much every baseball reporter in the country is saying that it's a done deal and they've got the terms, and we've been wondering what that means for Bryce Harper. Next, got an update on the Alliance of American Football, not great news for them, and on the NFL draft. Marquise Brown, Kyler Murray, and Drew Lock. You're listening to The Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson for my friends at Quip. I've been telling you, you brush your teeth, do it right. Do it right the first time. Quip is the game changer. I use Quip and 1 million people and 20,000 dentists recommend Quip. And the reason they do so is because Quip is an electronic toothbrush that guides you every 90 seconds, telling you when to flip sides, go to the next set of teeth, and get you squared away. Here's what Quip's going to do, though, right now. If you use my promo code, which is getquip.com/grant, they're going to give you a free pack on your refill for the first opportunity that you get about 3 months from now. So you're going to go 6 months without needing a refill pack. First refill pack free. It's getquip.com/grant. 3 out of 4 of us use bristles that are old and worn out and ineffective. Declutter the sink. You know, the cabinet is getting gross. You got wires all over the place, not with Quip. 90% of us aren't brushing for a full 2 minutes. Not a problem you'll have with Quip. I'm looking forward to going to spring training tomorrow. I'm going to pack my bags with my Quip electric toothbrush. Getquip.com/grant. Try it out and get that refill pack free. Starts at $25.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think this Darren Revell tweet could bring about some skepticism.
Go on.
The Alliance of American Football, they have a big investor, by the way, just dropped $250 million in, I believe it's the Canes owner, as a matter of fact, who wants in on the Alliance of American Football. But players have been told that the league missed payroll for week one because of a glitch that went down. Something happened. It was the first time guys were supposed to be paid and they weren't.
That's the best, Professor. We fixed the glitch.
So reading from this tweet here. The AAF missed payroll in week one. They told agents that it was a glitch with switching to a new administration, or administrator, I guess. They told players they would be paid by today at the latest. Now, Revell did, right after that, send out another tweet and say, update: AAF players who were told league missed payroll for week one because of a glitch have now been paid, hours after the league announced it essentially sold itself to Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon.
It's not...
Doesn't sound great.
No, that's all it is. And if it's to be believed, a.k.a. it really was, just that they switched software and there was some weird glitch in payroll and that's all it is, it's fine. It doesn't look good, especially to jackasses like me that think this thing is just amateur hour and it's already on its last legs and won't survive and, you know, everything else. It's just fodder for uninformed jerks.
And in fairness to the AAF, your feeling isn't that way because it's the Alliance. It's that it's football and it isn't the NFL. And your point is none of these leagues will exist or work.
Yeah, especially ones
like you
that,
feel the same way about the XFL,
yes.
The arena football. Like,
yeah.
There's no league that you'll give a chance to that is, quote-unquote,
just that's not the highest quality.
NFL.
Yeah, because that's what it is. When they're trying to do – now, the reason this one has a chance is if the NFL would commit itself to a true minor leagues, Major League Baseball teams, they have expenditures in the millions of dollars in development. The NFL does it. It's one of the reasons it's so profitable to own a team. You don't have to have any minors. College football does that for you. The NFL should have a minor league. If owners in the NFL were willing to fill in the gaps here and pay a guy that, you know, whatever, should be earning $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 to develop to one day be on the rosters, I think it would have a much better chance.
Let's get you ready for the NFL draft. We'll be doing it from time to time here on the show with some news and notes. We'll start you off with Kyler Murray going to go in the first round. Speculation is could be available for the Redskins at 15, although what you and I are wondering, could this happen? Starting to see some tea leaves that say it might. He could go well before the Redskins pick at number 15. He discussed his decision to choose football over baseball, and he says he's in a better place now than he was a few weeks ago.
I think it's been a lot more, I don't want to say peaceful, but for me, you know, waking up, you know, kind of just having it out there, it's been a lot easier on me. Just getting to focus on actually, you know, working every day towards, you know, being an NFL quarterback and putting myself in the best position possible for, you know, come draft day.
Sounds a little different than the last time he was not giving the answers to
Flustered,
Dan
awkward,
Patrick.
Looking over at cues from his dad, et cetera. I read a Pro Football Talk story, and it reaffirmed my suspicion in that this is still out there. That this whole him maybe not throwing at the combine, this whole still one toe in the water of baseball, et cetera, I still think he's got it in his back pocket where if he doesn't like where he's drafted, he may bolt. I think he's still maintaining leverage. I really don't buy the, quote, all-in-on football Kyler Murray
but
epiphany.
Even, unless you saw something I didn't, the PFT piece you're talking about was just a complete speculation.
Yes,
where they were just
absolutely.
Tinfoil hat in this thing.
No report at all. It's a, he's not throwing at the combine. I'm reading the tea leaves here, and he feels, sounds like Florio does the same way that I do, which is this is not a done deal that he's all-in on football, and he's going to have to convince teams that he is all-in on football.
Yeah, he absolutely has to do that. I don't know why anyone would think that way necessarily. He's giving you no reason to. It's just kind of a skepticism about him that someone might have. But speaking of the decision, baseball versus football, and not being easy to walk away from baseball, here's what he had to say about that.
Not many people have been in this position to have to, you know, just quit one. It's not easy just to, you know, drop one like this. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I had to, obviously had to pick one. And, you know, my gut, my heart, it's all in football. So did I feel like I could be successful at the baseball yet? At baseball, yes. But at the end of the day, I'm a football player.
And he's going to be a football player after being drafted in the first round, unless, sounds like you think, maybe, he doesn't like the team he's drafted to. But again, he's said and done nothing to make you think that's the case. It's just kind of your own back of your head.
It's a perception that I've got. It's that I look at, you know, who benefits, right? When, if he makes a statement that says, I'm all in on baseball, well, then the football option goes away. He's got no leverage. What he needed to do at the time was say, I love football in order to be considered for football. Like, he did what he had to do. I still think he's kicking this can down the road. I think if he had this, because this is all relatively new. Remember, he was thought of as a baseball player, and the A's were like, yeah, we'll let you go play your last season of football to make you happy at Oklahoma, but you'll be there at spring training. And this all kind of came on. This is all still relatively new that he's this great at football.
His wide receiver who made a bunch of plays for him at Oklahoma last year, top guy catching passes, was Marquise Hollywood Brown. 75 catches, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns, blazing speed. Averaged 17.5 yards per catch as a sophomore. I guess second-year player. He was a junior, as a matter of fact. Year before that, 19 yards per catch in his second season at Oklahoma. Well, he's hurt. This is a guy I love for the Redskins in the first round, and he ain't going in the first round anymore, I don't think. My fear is that now he probably falls in the draft a little bit. He's small. He's 5'10", 168. He didn't get hurt because of his size. It's a Liz Frank deal. It's going to cost him much of the pre-draft process. I was reading yesterday that he's going to be out for the combine, that he will be out, it sounds like, for his pro day potentially as well. So you and I were throwing his name out there as this is what they need. Speed, a weapon, a pass catcher, someone who can strike up the band on offense and create some excitement at FedEx Field. I don't know that you completely rule him out at 15, but a lot of questions, and you probably move him down the board.
Yeah, where the Redskins have actually done a pretty good job of late is the guy that's got an injury concern where there's not great tape recently, where you get him in round 3, round 4. You know, think of Fabian Moreau or think of a Bashaud Breeland. Maybe you pick him a year too early. That's a profit, a fourth-round pick that becomes a starter. I know he's a headache and he's not here anymore, but that's a quality selection, a guy like that. Doing it in the first round, I like no red flags with my first rounders. It scares you. Now, it may just be a footnote on the guy's path to greatness, right? Where it's, can you believe teams passed on him because of this little injury? Something about that, though. I consider those Liz Frank injuries, the stress-related ones, those are my 300-pounders that get those. I don't like my 170-pound guys getting those.
Speaking of first rounders and red flags at the quarterback position, there's some folks that aren't big Drew Lock fans because of accuracy and some other issues. Over the last several weeks, people watching the film very closely. The new noise, the new hotness, if you will, is to mock him to the Redskins at 15. Murray goes before that. Daniel Jones going before that.
Mm-hmm.
that he would be the fourth quarterback chosen in the first round, and he would go number 15 to Washington. Now, I readily admit this is a guy I've done the least work on, have the least homework on, know the least about. So I got a lot of figuring things out to do before we talk in detail about Drew Lock in the draft as we get closer to the picks being made. But this is now, just within the last week, become the thing. It was early on like a Daniel Jones might be there. So you look him up, you try to get an opinion on him. Then it was a Kyler Murray might be around at 15. A lot of us watched Oklahoma. Duke was on national TV all the time. Missouri, because of the conference they play in, is on from time to time. But it's just not a guy maybe you know as much about. You don't see him week in and week out in those prime slots. Drew Lock to the Redskins at 15. You feel okay about it?
No, I wouldn't feel very good about it at all.
Would you do it?
No, but you know me. I want no quarterback at all this year. I don't care who he is. Unless it's Dwayne Haskins, in which case I'll kind of throw out my axiom here for this, but he's not happening. My takeaway from this is the season. Nobody's played any games. Nobody's run. Nobody's been measured. No one's done anything. And everybody has to find a new angle, a new article, a new thing to write about. So somebody uncovers one bit of film where he missed a pass against Kentucky. Next thing you know, you've got some sort of paradigm about the guy can or can't play. There's no new data available. So everybody's just kind of feeding on themselves. They're eating their own tails at this stage. But what's going to happen is everyone's going to overdraft the quarterbacks. Whether the guys that are there on the board, teams are going to trade up if they're not already in the top 15.
Here's a good question on Twitter from Josh. We can answer this next. He said, if you're correct and Kyler Murray will bail on football based on teams drafting him he doesn't like, who would be on that list? He says, other than the Redskins, obviously. We can get to that next. Also want to hit on Antonio Brown and the Steelers. Meeting between ownership and the player, it sounds like everyone agrees that it is time to get him out of Pittsburgh. Where's he going to end up? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today was the day for the meeting between Antonio Brown, the best wide receiver in football, and Steelers president Art Rooney II. Brown tweeted that both sides, quote, agreed that it is time to move on, end quote. Brown took a picture with Rooney, which he posted. I don't know what he's doing, but he looks like a person who's going crazy.
You mean Mr. Big Chest? That's what he'd like to be called.
Yes, he would to be called Mr. Big Chest. He's doing terrible bits, and he's going the way of, like, I wouldn't even say an Ocho Cinco, because even though he was a clown shoe, he started as a clown shoe. Like, he didn't go down a weird path. But Brown's got his hair done all weird. He's got his mustache dyed golden. It's just a weird look. But the tweet he put out, had a great meeting with Mr. Rooney today. We discussed a lot of things, and we cleared the air on several issues. We both agreed that it is time to move on, but I'll always have appreciation and gratitude towards the Rooney family and the Steelers organization. Call God Boomin are the hashtags. I don't know what any of that
means. I don't know what those things mean.
Drew Rosenhaus was in on the meeting as well. So was the GM of the Steelers, Kevin Colbert. Executive Omar Khan, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The meeting was cordial. Everyone agreed that the trade would be best for all parties, according to Adam Schefter. This is a no-brainer for the Steelers. Get rid of this guy. You're going to get a lot back for him, and he has become way too big a pain in the butt. I know it sounds crazy because we're talking about one of the best wide receivers in the league, but I cannot imagine the market's that high. His antics this offseason have not gotten back to normal. He ended the year quitting on his team at a time where they were trying to play their way into the playoffs and basically no showing on his team in week 17. And I think less of him now than I did after that. He's been a maniacal figure doing wacky things on social media since then. He has not basically come out and apologized and said, whoops, my bad.
So, I think I saw this with Ian Rappaport and maybe others. Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown do not have permission to speak with teams. That's a big distinction here. The Steelers said they listened to all his blathering and whatever he did in that meeting. He hashtagged everything. I'm sure Art Rooney was up with all the hashtags or whatever Rooney it is. And listened to him do whatever. And then they said, there, young man. We'll handle this. You go and do whatever it is you're going to do. We'll trade you. You're not going to negotiate deals on our behalf. You're not reaching out to teams. You don't have permission to talk to anybody. We'll do this. Trying to wrestle back some last form of control of this process.
As they should, by the way. They've done nothing wrong. They've paid him a ton of money. He's asked a couple of times for raises. He's held out at, or threatened to at different times. He has been, every couple of year, kind of, hey, by the way, I'm over here. I want more money. And they just keep giving and giving and giving. And they get a lot back on the field. But they've done nothing to have to deal with his nonsense. And I always say the Steelers don't suffer fools. They've started to the last couple of years. They want to get back to not doing that now.
His cap number is enormous, and he's due a lot of money, and he would get it, you know, wherever he went. He would have stayed in Pittsburgh and gotten a huge amount of money. He wants guaranteed money in his deal. His guaranteed money that he signed for, I believe I saw this as well, is 15th now among NFL wide receivers. Odell Beckham is first with in excess of $40+ million guaranteed in his contract because he's later in the queue. So Brown, who's quote only $19 million guaranteed when he signed his deal, wants to be up towards the top, if not the top. So that's now his new focus. Isn't how much money he would get, because he's one of the more highly paid players in the league, let alone wide receivers.
But how many times do you get to update to make sure you're at the top?
What you're doing is asking a good question. What I'm saying is this thought process is ridiculous and bizarre and crazy, and I don't know what he's doing or why he's doing it, but that's his new thing is... Yeah. He wants to be known as Mr. Big Chest. Again, so many questions.
He's a masked singer.
He was on that dumb show. The third thing is he now wants the most guaranteed money. That's what he cares about. So he even tweeted this out. If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them to call me. Guaranteed money is what he cares about. Not this huge cap. He's going to get his salary next year.
Right.
Right? That's a lot of money.
No thanks, man.
He wants the guaranteed part of it.
You can catch 107 balls somewhere else and be someone else's problem. No thank you. When he first became available, I thought, yeah, why not? The Redskins are desperate for receiver help. They're not that desperate. I mean, because it's not just the quitting on his team in week 17 of this past year. He's been in trouble off the field. There's allegations of violence. There's all kinds of things that have followed him for years in addition to the fact that you just can't count on him. I don't care if you do Facebook in the locker room, but how many times does Mike Tomlin have to stop what he's doing to have a meeting with you? Some guys just can't get right. Some guys are just on team. I'm going to annoy everybody so that I get attention. And it seems like that's where he is. Not to mention, a big part of the issue he's got, he was mad that Juju Smith-Schuster got credit for being a great player last year. He was mad that he was the offensive MVP, that his peers were celebrating Juju Smith-Schuster and not him in the locker room. That's ridiculous. I've never heard a story like that, by the way. How mad he got over that.
It's unreal.
He also can't stand Ben Roethlisberger, which I can't necessarily fault a wide receiver for not liking a quarterback if a quarterback is, you know, way more powerful than you. I think jealousy sets in. I think that happens at every workplace. But you at least should acknowledge that time and time again, as Tom points out, Ben Roethlisberger has taken pay cuts and or tried to rework his contract or restructure. And it's not like he was poor. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. But the point is, he's done what he can to keep Brown happy, to get money for Le'Veon Bell, to go out and speak about re-signing these guys and giving them their contracts. So he doesn't like Ben Roethlisberger, and that's fine, but to hold the entire organization hostage and do some of the other things he did at the end of last year because of that, you think you're the first wide receiver that's mad at a quarterback? You're not.
The part that gets me is he went from the greatest kind of story, the ultimate underdog story. I mean, he's average Joe's gym. I mean, he is out of Central Michigan in the sixth round. Nobody gave a chance. And when they cut whoever it was it Mike Wallace or was it Emmanuel Sanders? I can't remember who he was the heir apparent to. He was somebody's understudy. When they got rid of him, they said, you're crazy. Even though he had a 1,000-yard season in 2011, you goes into the 2013 season, 1,500 yards and 8 touchdowns. Went from a guy on the outside looking in, a depth and rotation player, to a bona fide every year, top of the everybody's list, fantasy draft pick, superstar. Averaging around 1,600 yards and 11 touchdowns per season over the course of 6 years. Unbelievable stuff. And then, now this. You went from all you're going to be known for is beating the odds. You're Jerry Rice at this point, out of you know, whatever it was, Missouri Valley, Mississippi Valley State, Tech A&I. What Terrell Owens did out of the middle of nowhere, out of nothing. He came from zero, an afterthought, and turned himself into a superstar. That should have always been his career arc, and now it's this. It's a shame.
Well, and he robbed himself, you say it well, I think, of just being viewed as a good guy, so to speak. No one really cares, I don't think, if people think they're good or bad or you know, all you got to do is be pro-team and everyone likes you. And if you're anti-team or try to get yours, everyone dislikes you. And I disagree with most people on that. But there's you either are a pro or you're not, in my opinion. It's kind of a binary thing. Either you're a guy that puts the team on Sundays ahead of yourself or you don't. And he's screaming on sideline. He's angry at quarterbacks. And he's mad that wide receivers are getting credit. And he's not showing up. I'm out of the Antonio Brown business.
Well, the instant he can't do it anymore, he's getting TO'd. He's getting Dez Bryant.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, and the first erosion in the skill set. Now, guys like Steve Smith.
By the way, he shouldn't waste another second trying to, like, say nice things to Steelers fans to make sure that they don't dislike him. They're not dumb.
No, they're not
dumb. The tweet he sent out today about, miss you, Steelers Nation.
Okay.
No. It's over, buddy.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't care about you.
Guys like Anquan Boldin, even when they've lost a step or seven, still getting looks. Guys like Larry Fitzgerald will stick around. Steve Smith will stick around. For some reason, nobody wanted Dez Bryant. Nobody was interested in Terrell Owens at the end of his career.
Go buy yourself a Juju Smith-Schuster jersey if you're a Steelers fan. You're going to be okay.
You'll be all right.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll hit the leftovers that we haven't yet gotten to next before we get out of here. Chad Dukes versus the world, less than 20 minutes out.
Window Nation people, Grant and Danny for Window Nation. It's the final week for the off-season deals at Window Nation. We want you. This is what we want for you. Get free windows. Free financing. And have your electric bill paid until your windows are installed. But hurry, this is the final week. Off-season is the best time to buy, and Window Nation knows this too, and they are offering this amazing deal. You buy two windows, get two free, and get 0% financing for 5 full years.
Buy four windows, you're getting four free. Eight, you're getting eight, no limit. Plus, during the final week, purchase a house of windows at Window Nation. Window Nation's going to pay your heating bill until your new windows are installed. Save thousands. Window Nation goes room to room, installing. So that there's not much disturbance. Plus, they're going to pay your heating bill. Window Nation needs to keep the factory busy. Their installers working. They know it's a slow time of the year. So that's why they're giving you this amazing offer. Final week of our off-season deal. It's the best off-season deal of the year. Call 866-90-NATION. Visit windownation.com. Get two free windows for every two you buy. No limit. 0% financing for 5 full years.
Tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The latest mock draft with Drew Locke to the Redskins. Mel Kiper's mock.
Oh.
That's a mock of note. It would also give us a new entry into our little game where we talk about the word lock and anything that rhymes with it. It would be a Drew Locke that we would use him in that game in the future.
You'd have to. I mean, it's a Ryan Lochte that we would do that. I
mean, Greg Lachlan, Drew Locke would come up.
No question about it.
I'm more on board with a rookie quarterback in the first round than you are. I also think just from a team needs standpoint as a football operation, clearly they need a quarterback. But you know how I feel. I worry about this organization. It's long-term health if next year is another fiasco. I don't mean win-loss record, but I mean nobody watching, nobody caring.
Yeah, I need this group not to get more time. This group, if they get a rookie quarterback, gets more time. They buy themselves patience. It's Dearney Grunfeld. When your team shouldn't be rebuilding, you draft a project like a Jan Vesely and say, we look at him as a long-term investment. He's terrible and can't play. So I don't want him to get more time. I don't want these guys to get more time, and that's what a rookie quarterback would buy. But they're going to do it.
Huge news of the day, Manny Machado to the San Diego Padres. 10 years, $300 million. What does this mean for Bryce Harper? I got to think it means that the Phillies are going to have to pay him more. At this point, You have to bank on him getting 310 or 315 from Philly at least, right? He's going to have to do better than that. The projection all along was that he was going to get more than Manny Machado. Most people didn't think Machado was going to get $300 million. This could be a sign, though. The Manny got his money, he got paid, and Bryce is going to get his as well, even though we've been waiting a while and we weren't really sure if that was the case or not.
It looks now like Philly's strategy of, well, nobody's going to meet this huge price, because I saw a comment from Ken Williams, the White Sox GM, say we couldn't approach that $300 million level with regards to Machado. Right? I think the Phillies know that nobody else is going to come up here. No one else is going to offer this. And I think they were just sitting there waiting while Boris and company were, you know, continuing to wave their arms, hoping that somebody else would meet the offer so they could squeeze some more money out of the Phillies. I think now maybe the Phillies are into a corner where they may have to do what you're saying. I initially thought, yeah, they'll just be patient because no one else is going to meet the asking price, right? Nobody else is going to jump up here and do this. But now maybe if they want this done, it's a standoff. It's a game of chicken. Who's going to blink first? I think it'll be Philly because they want the player in camp.
I mentioned this earlier, but believe it or not, we're still 7 days away. One full week from today last year when J.D. Martinez signed with Boston.
Yeah.
And he ended up putting up MVP caliber numbers and leading the American League most of the season in some counting statistics, helping guide them to the World Series. It was a smart deal for both parties, and it worked out really well. He was supposed to have gotten more money than he did, though, and it took until the end of the offseason. But you think this is dragged on. A week from now is when he signed. I am surprised that Machado caved and didn't wait for Harper. Are you?
Yes, very much so.
He would have gotten, I think, even though he got $300 million, and maybe that was all along what he thought was his best-case scenario when the Padres came up. He just said, all right, let's get it done. It's over. But I think no matter what he got, when Harper signed, he could have done a little bit better just because you're negotiating off that deal. If, in fact, Bryce, like we all think, is going to make more than the four-time All-Star who's got a career .297 batting average. Coming off of 37 homers and 107 batted in last year.
I know. I mean, he didn't play as well when he was in Los Angeles, but still.
Not as friendly a ballpark either.
He put plenty in the bank. I mean, his worst season a couple years ago, 2017, 260, 33 bolts, a great defense, you know, OPS over 9. The guy's a pure hitter. He is more of a pure hitter than Bryce Harper is. Harper's the total offensive package. He's going to walk more, see more pitches, et cetera. Manny Machado was put on the surf to put the barrel on the baseball. Nobody has anywhere near as many hard-hit balls as he does over the last several years. I think the number I saw was 550, 95-mile-per-hour plus contacts in play. Nobody else is more than 440. Manny Machado is right now the premier bat-on-ball hitter in Major League Baseball. He's still going to strike out some and you know, a few other things. He's been just north of 100 over the last couple of years. But he's swinging, and he's going to make contact. He's the guy that you want up there in big situations.
Another reason today is big on the sports calendar, it becomes day one for teams to place the franchise tag on players and let players know that they're going to get tagged and they're going to stick around rather than hitting free agency. The Redskins have key free agents, including Preston Smith at outside linebacker, Jamison Crowder in the slot, perhaps even Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, although he really struggled at safety. They are not expected to use the franchise tag on any of those players. In fact, I would say it would be shocking if they did. Remember, if you use a franchise tag, you pay that player the average sum of the top five highest paid players at their position. So what does that mean? Well, Preston Smith would get top five pass rushing money. He's not worth that. In fact, last year he wasn't worth average pass rushing money.
He was
based
rated
on sack total, at least.
PFT's top 100 free agents is live and they constantly update it. Guess where you think Preston Smith was ranked among the top 100 free agents?
Very high, I would say. He plays a critical position, a marquee spot, and the analytics community loves Preston Smith's season because of, you know, some pressures and some hurries and getting into the backfield and making some plays. I will say 15, something like that.
13 is the number?
Yeah.
He's the second outside linebacker, primarily pass rusher. So they're more edge rushers, right? DeMarcus Lawrence, Jadeveon Clowney, Frank Clark of the Seahawks, good player. Outside linebacker, D Ford of Kansas City, speed rusher, part of that crew. And then the next guy.
D Ford's going to get a franchise tag from the Chiefs, I saw reported today.
The next guy's Preston Smith.
If that happens, Preston Smith even moves up that board a little bit.
So he's ahead of guys like, you know, Roger Saffold, guard, safety LaMarcus Joyner,
but
Eagles
you know
quarterback
why that
Ronald
shouldn't
Darby.
Surprise you? Remember Brian Arakpo on those same lists.
Got money.
When he was a free agent, was in the top 10.
And we went, what?
And he actually had better numbers than Preston
yeah.
Smith. But you just knew against an NFC East opponent, he was going to be nowhere to be found, that he would go four games without a sack and then get four against the Raiders.
15% of his career Redskins sacks were in two games against the Raiders.
Pretty much.
Actual numbers.
Oh, is that actual?
That's actual.
That's funny. And it's not shocking to me.
It's so annoying.
But he was rated just like Preston Smith. It's outside linebacker, man.
Yep.
If you've got a resume where you get 6-7 sacks a year,
a heartbeat,
you're going to get paid.
And you play outside linebacker, you get money.
It's like a lefty pitcher who can throw 95. You're going to get a job. Preston Smith is absolutely no different. Now, the response is still coming in on Twitter on the expectation for Bryce. Do you think when we crack the microphone tomorrow at 10 a.m., Harper will have signed a contract and agreed to terms with the team?
I say no. I think they're still...
I say no as well.
Doing the going once again, still going twice. I think they're still waiting for something. I don't know what it is, but something.
I just hope it ends, man. People are over it.
Yeah,
now.
I want it to end.
At some point, and if I was Scott Boras, I'd be cognizant of this. I don't know if he cares as much as just getting the number.
He doesn't care.
But at some point, you don't want your client to be disliked by a bunch of fan bases because there's something about marketability that matters there.
Yeah.
And the longer this drags on, the less people that are going to be pro Bryce Harper when he eventually gets his contract.
It's a good point. Let me throw this in quickly. ESPN has a in-depth expose right now on the Tim Donaghy betting scandal and how in-depth it is.
Saw that.
It is riveting and incredible. I'm about halfway through it, and the stories are eye-popping. It is well worth your read. I tweeted out a moment ago at Funny Danny.
It's right at the top of their page at ESPN.com.
It's super good.
We're Grant and Danny. Thanks a ton, as always, for listening. If you missed any part of today's show, had a good conversation with Jamal Collier. Nice little breakdown with some phone calls on how cool it would have been if the Redskins would have traded for Joe Flacco.
Oh, it would have been special.
He's outstanding. If you missed that, go to grantanddanny.com or thefandc.com/audio. Chad Dukes is up next, and I've been hearing some things. Chad's been working really hard because he had that day off.
Yeah, that's right.
Where he really wanted to talk some baseball today.
He was at the symposium down in North Carolina. Some people say the beach. I say at the Advanced Analytics for Independent Baseball Symposium. He knows what the marketplace is for a single A player who right now is undervalued playing for the Maryland Blue. 4.5 hours from now.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh,